You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and on this episode, it's just going to be me and Padres Haiku. If you don't know Padres Haiku, he's a popular Twitter account on Twitter where he writes haikus in the Padres sensibility. He came by my house on Saturday night, and we kind of broke down his you know, we talked about the Hosmer signing. If you listened to last week's episode, we did it at my house, and in the middle of it, we found out and just let the podcast keep recording. That was a lot of fun. It's a monumental moment, I would say, in the golden age of Padres podcasting. But yeah, so this week we kind of wanted to talk about the whole week afterwards, where we got to see Scott Boras in a press conference throwing out popular hashtags, creating new content for the Padres to exploit. But yeah, we went through that and just kind of broke down where the team is at going into spring training with all different phases of the team. Looked at the pitching and just kind of how Hosmer's going to fit in. So we went through that, and at the end, partway through the podcast, we stopped it and went and watched a horrible, horrible baseball movie called Trouble with the Curve. You might remember this one. If you did see it, you probably wanted to block it out. It's with Justin Timberlake, Clint Eastwood, and Amy Adams. It's a horrible movie, and we had a few drinks while watching it and during the podcast for it. But at the end, we basically decided that it was one of the worst movies ever, but we found some things to tie it into the Padres, so you might want to check it out at the end. It's pretty funny. We just kind of hated it. So it might be the last time we talk about a baseball movie on the podcast. I mean, we've kind of, the last 2 years, we've done a series of baseball movies, and I don't know, this one just took the wind out of my sails. I don't know if I ever want to talk about baseball on film after seeing it. So check that out at the end. But yeah, we go through just some Hosmer talk and what's going on moving forward. 2018, it's here. We're doing it. Yeah, check out Padres Haiku at Padres Haiku, and always check us out on Twitter at The Kept Faith, and check out our Patreon. Give us some money, please. No, you don't have to. But yeah, that's what we're doing, and I'll see you next week. We'll all be back together, Travis, Dallas, and I. We just haven't been able to get together anywhere at the same time and do a podcast with the whole family. But we'll be back. Nothing. There's no drama. It's just a scheduling thing. So we'll see you next week. Welcome to the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm finally here. I've made it.
Yeah, yeah. This is the inner circle.
Super excited to be here on Padres Blunted.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Up and coming, the number one up and coming podcast.
Padres CBD.
Oh man, super excited.
I wanna meet those guys. That's the
mashup we're looking for.
They won.
That's the one I want.
There's a new podcast. If you haven't heard, there's a lot. There's 17 new podcasts, but there's one that's called Bluntly Padres, and I checked it out. They enjoy cannabis and they like talking baseball. You know what? It's legal.
Yeah. Whatever. No, we're not breaking any rules
here.
Hey
man.
If liking baseball and dope is illegal, then lock me up, man.
Yeah. Well, we got a huge rush of I tried to make a drug comparison. Last week, never mind. We spiked our veins with new player juice. No, we last weekend on the podcast, we had it first.
Yeah.
Eric Hosmer signed with
first. Yeah, yeah.
Eric Hosmer signed with the San Diego Padres. Mm. Where were you and how did you feel?
I was at a wedding in Coronado, and I checked my phone, and a couple days before I was like, I don't think he were. I don't think we're going to do it. I think Kansas City's going to sign Eric Hosmer, and then it happened. And I was already, you know, a few drinks in, and I was like, I'm going to call Nick. I knew that you were recording a podcast tonight or that night. I was like, I'm going to call Nick. And then I thought better of it, and I was like, you know what? I'm already, like, you know, a few drinks in. Probably going to make that podcast 100 times worse if I call in right now. But, I was at a wedding, and I saw it, and had to walk around for a little bit, clear my head, think about Eric Hosmer in a Padres jersey, and
Well, it seems like everybody has to have people around town that are, you know, paying attention to this.
Yeah,
it is sort of like a Kennedy situation. Like, where were you when this happened? It does feel like that within the context of just Padres baseball. It's like,
I was and half of Padres Twitter was recording a Padres podcast at the time, I suppose.
I know, but
I was at a wedding, like, I don't know. Everyone's got either the same take or like a really similar take. Like, right before the signing happened, either people were like 100% against it or 100% for it. Now it's like, well, it happened. It's not the worst contract in the world. And it just seems like everyone's writing the same blog post about how it's not the worst not the worst contract in the world. Everyone's going to be happy. Like, leadership qualities, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean.
Well, it does feel, he does check a lot of boxes. Like, he's a very good player. He's not a great player.
No.
And they didn't pay. This is what you pay for a very good player.
I feel like it was fair market value for this guy. I think it's a lateral move on the infield, probably.
But I do feel a sense of calm knowing that this is this ownership's play, right? This is the guy.
Eric Hosmer.
They're not going to go after anybody much bigger than Eric Hosmer in the next few years, I would say.
I mean, the big names next free agent season, they're probably not going to come here.
Right.
Right? Like, they're not making Eric Hosmer money. They're going to make a lot more money. Like, Bryce Harper, he's going to make a lot more money than Eric Hosmer. And then, like, Manny Machado, who's coming up. I think Arenado, is he coming up? Not this year.
There's a few big fish coming down, but this is their play, and this is
their guy. They'll probably make a move on like one person in a year or two. But
I think they're big. They'll probably, when they feel like they have a team that's ready, they'll start throwing money at pitching.
Yeah,
I think.
They also have to sort of wash their hands of the James Shields signing for what it's worth. It's like, you had the James Shields signing, which was the richest contract in Padres history, and then Fowler trashes him because, to be fair, James Shields was pitching garbage. You know, just garbage. He was very, very bad. And, the idea that, like, oh, like, free agents aren't going to want to sign here because if you're not playing well, then the owner is going to, you know, trash you. It's like, well, except for when Eric Hosmer came, like, the next big name guy who was like up and like, you know, was available for the Padres did end up signing here after, you know, some storm and drawn. But like, I think it's a good faith. I think it's sending us a message out saying like, look, you know, we're open for business to a certain extent. Like, you know, we're not stingy. It's not like the old days where it's just like, we're just going to say no to all the Boris clients. We're just going to say no to all the high dollar guys, you know? So maybe we won't get the Mike Trouts of the world or the Bryce Harpers of the world in the future. But, it's like saying, you know, if you're like a mid-tier free agent or like, a lower upper echelon free agent, you know, San Diego is a destination, especially with the hot lava talent that's coming up.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
That is welling under the ground. I mean, like, I really do think that it's a smart play by ownership to say, like, we are laying out money here. We're not cheap here. Like, we are spending money. It looks good for common fans. Maybe you're overspending a little bit up front, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this take is out. Is it like everybody basically has that same opinion? It's like it's front loaded contract. Blah, 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 blah. It's really not. It's really two contracts. But it also
eliminates from our perspective and the people that follow this pretty closely. The conversation last year was so much about, should they tank? Are they tanking? Why aren't they tanking good enough? Why aren't they tanking the right way?
We weren't as good at tanking as San Francisco was.
I think eliminates that whole conversation. I mean, are we going to even see when the Padres lose a game, are we going to see a tank gif on Twitter next year?
Have you seen the rotation? I mean,
no, I
know. Feel like you're putting.
That's fair.
Like, man, you're putting like some stars out there. You're putting some future stars out there. You're putting some really good. You're just putting some decent talent out on the field right now, but you're putting a lot of palookas up on the mound. You know, if your opening day starter is Clayton Richard, you're not.
Was that a palooka?
Sorry. Sorry. Like, I don't know. It's like, but he's definitely like a major league pitcher, and he should be on a major league roster somewhere. Same thing with, you know, a handful of these players, but like, if Clayton Richard is your staff ace, you know, your rotation isn't that great, you know, especially if when you look around the National League West and there's some really great pitchers out there. But yeah, I mean, maybe they're just trying to perfect the idea of losing, you know, or winning like 76 games. Like, it's like we're going to put together an exciting team that sells a lot of tickets, but ends up, you know, winning 70 something games. Because we want to lose enough games to pick like sixth or seventh in draft, but like win enough games to still stay somewhat profitable.
I'm pretty confident that for the rest of our lives, they're going to win between 71 and 77 games every year.
I don't know. We'll
see. But what I mean by the Hosmer signing is that like we can't act like this should be their intention to lose anymore. It seems like this is a clear statement that this is the statement of their direction. And that's why it felt so massive, I think. This is their guy. This is their big play.
Sure. I think they looked at it like, and I think like that phrase that they had at the press conference there, the pillar in the ground, I think that's valid. I think that is like a piece of like actual truth coming from the front office that they're saying. They're like, look, we want this guy here. We know what he brings, like leadership value wise, like blah, blah, blah. I feel like if you want a leadership in the clubhouse, if you want a good clubhouse, you win games. That's it. If you're losing games, it doesn't matter who is the leader in the clubhouse. You're going to have a bad clubhouse. Yeah. People are grumpy when they lose. These are like athletes. They're going to be mad. If you can have the greatest clubhouse leader, and if you're still losing games, your clubhouse is still in disarray. People are still going to be grumpy. You know, like you might not be at war, and maybe that's what they're avoiding. But we're going to see. Hosmer had some good years in Kansas City because, you know, even when they weren't winning the World Series, they were still pretty good. Uh-huh. You know, they were still in the playoffs. They were still, you know, they were still doing all right. They had a tragedy there. You know, he shepherded that team through the loss of like, you know,
Yordano Ventura.
Of Ventura, which is horrible. And, you know, no one's looking for that to like happen here, of course. But like, you know, good for him for being able to do that. But like, as far as like clubhouse leadership goes, as you know, if you want a good, healthy clubhouse, win games. Like, that's better than having like great leaders in it, you know.
So the team can sell that now.
Yeah.
And this week we saw at his press conference, I think that was Monday, Scott Boras comes out in the press conference and drops the now famous hashtag, that's sweeping sweeping the county, I guess. He came out and said that, you know, basically
and Northern Baja.
He basically said that he told Eric Hosmer to come to San Diego because their farm system is really good. And
but he's also a bunch of his clients are
right.
Are,
did he
like,
say?
Yeah, his, said, like a lot of I think are of our top prospects are like Boris clients.
But he called this group of players hot or it will they will flow out. I forgot the actual code. I should know this, but
it's hot talent. Well, what he said at the conference was hot talent lava
is coming. Will be coming out.
Yeah, which. As a haiku writer, very excited at that five syllables. I will not lie. I was like, thank God that wasn't like some crazy syllable.
Like, for a guy like you, hot talent lava will get you through July.
Yeah, eventually it's like, oh man, this lava's slowing. Lava's slowing down.
Look how boring this organization has been for so long that when somebody comes in and somebody expresses some small morsel.
Why does it have to be an agent? Why doesn't Seidler come up with this?
Oh, they love it though. They love
If the agents,
why Boris of all people? If someone's gonna write the hashtag that ends up on the shirts that we buy, you know, like LaSoya and Punk Rock Paint, they're gonna make shirts. We're gonna talk about hot talent lava all season long, and you know who it's gonna come from? Scott effing Boris.
I know.
Like, why him? Why not, like, you know, like, it just feels weird that it's like we're glomming on to this, like, agent speak, you know, that, like, that is essentially like talking up his own clients in the organization.
But that was
good they are. It's like here's a free one, guys. See you later.
That was a free commercial, though, for other players to say, like, oh, well, a Boris client can play in San Diego. This is...
Well, yeah, now.
I think the ownership is just tickled by it. Because you see the first time, you know, somebody comes up with a personality-driven, you know, statement, they glob onto it. They already made, you know, we've seen the team made T-shirts with the hashtag.
We all saw that today. That was... I want one of those so bad. So bad.
It is the hot talent lava era.
Yeah, like,
this is the first podcast in the hot talent lava era.
Like, there are things that, like, fan bases grab onto, that people grab on. You know, like, it's like there's this phrase, you know, swoon, sploosh for Tatis. You know, like, things that, like, you know, that come up. I feel like magma, this hot talent lava phrase, it's going to get us through the All-Star break. And then after that, you know, we'll see what happens going back to Chargers 8. But, like,
well, the hottest part of that, what makes that lava so hot,
yeah,
is Fernando Tatis Jr., who
struck
out three times today. Yeah. But, you know, that's, you know, he's a teenager. So
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I'm very, very excited that this teenager is in big league camp and played in the first two games. Like, you know.
Well, he hit a home run on Friday.
Yeah, but to hear your UT beat writer here, he swung from the back of his heels and sort of, like, poked at it. Like, it's cool that he, like, poked at this ball and sent it over the bullpen. Fantastic. He's got easy power. At the same time, it's like, you know, he's not, like, let's just make sure he's not a bust, you know? Like,
I'm starting to get really excited.
I'm ready for Tatis to be great. Let's not put all of our eggs in the Tatis basket, because, you know, that, you know, we did that once with someone else and it didn't turn out great for us.
Well, I just started to get these thoughts that are irresponsible, where it's like, oh, Tatis is going to be so good. We don't even need to go after Machado or anybody.
Are you the guy in that meme where it's like, you've got, like, Hedges on your right, and then you're, like, turning your head, and it's like, oh, Tatis. Like, no, right? Like, you're still, committed to Hedges,
like,
right?
Okay. It's not like that.
All right, that's fine. No, I don't know. Like, people, like, the takes that I saw today were either, like, Tatis is still great, or Tatis is a bust. We need to move on, because he struck out three times, and he, like, accidentally hit a home run yesterday, and it's like, dude, this is the second game of spring training. He is a teenager. He needs to look at, like, breaking ball, like, you know, professional level breaking balls for at least another season, maybe two. Either people want to crown him, people want to put him in the shortstop hole, like, you know, people want to put him as a starting shortstop now and like, just move on. It's like a mistake. He needs to season. He needs to marinate. You know, we need to put him in a vacuum bag and sous vide him, Padres meat Twitter style, for a while. Like, he's got time. Like, ready yet. We're excited about this guy, but he needs to marinate. He's not finished. He's not a done product.
Yeah, I don't even know if, like, people are talking about him coming up at the end of the year.
That's fine. He can get a cup of coffee. He's not ready to be your shortstop, and he's not even going to be a shortstop long term. That's the other thing that I've seen a lot. I don't think that he's a long term option at shortstop. He's a third baseman, which is fine.
I like it. Good. Left side of the infield with power. I don't care.
No power, smarts. That's the other thing. It's like, he's got, like,
he's funny too.
Yeah, funny. Understand, like, you know, he's baseball smart, and, like, he's got power. you know, we're already all in love with him. I sploosh for him like every time he breathes.
Is that That's what good. They're saying? Are people really saying that?
I'm saying that. Okay. I sploosh for the guy.
That's great.
You know, if Hedges gets a swoon, I feel like we can sploosh for him.
Well, like Hedges and I are going through this thing right now where it's like, summer's over. Like, where is this going? Where is this going?
Is your relationship I just with like, just like weird Z's?
You know,
right
we're
now?
Not. You know, we're not working at the ice cream stand at the pier anymore. Like, I need substance. I need to know where this is going. And it's like, you know, that's a.
What do you think about Ellis coming in?
He could probably.
It's like the thing no one is talking about. Is Ellis is well, I the mean, Dodgers' old guy being our guy now?
He's probably more valuable than Rocky Gale. I mean,
didn't we DFA?
Yeah, Rocky I mean Gale? That's basically what's happening. So, sorry, Rocky Gale heads, but
no, yeah, no. Did he get picked up by someone else?
I haven't followed the.
I wouldn't doubt if he gets goes through waivers and the Padres just pick him right back up.
That's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about the other phases of the team? There's the pitching.
Not good.
Pitching is, yeah, we already went over that. No, but you have, you know, Richards, Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then three spots for eight guys, essentially. Is it eight? That's what they're saying.
I feel like it's 18.
I know.
Yeah. No, so Ghost was here last week.
Yes.
Right? And
he's still
Hosmer,
here.
And Hosmer got signed. So I'm here this week. I'm going to check my phone here in a second. I feel like, you know, PV could be signed while I'm here. And I feel like I'm worth a PV. You know, like Ghost gets a Hosmer. I'm worth a PV, at least.
I don't even need PV. I just need a showcase for PV open to the public at Petco Park. I want Let like us
a,
watch.
I want PV. I want like a PV Lincecum tandem.
That's what I want.
You know, there's your 3 and 4 right there.
Hey, somebody just picked up Oliver Perez.
Really?
Bring him back.
Who picked up Oliver Perez?
He got a minor league contract. Ooh. With Diamondbacks.
Oh my goodness gracious. They don't need him. Yeah. Oh man.
So, what do you think? I mean,
no, the pitching's just going to be atrocious. And the bullpen's going to be like all right. You know, like the bullpen's going to be okay. You still have hand on the back end of it, and you know, he might get traded. And there's a handful of guys that on this team you're looking around, it's like who's trade bait on this team?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the Padres have been known to trade some bullpen pieces. And Strom is around because of that bullpen trade last year. And Brad Hand is here. And
yeah, so
he's less valuable this year than he was last year. But he'll still be valuable going into this year. And we'll see because, you know.
What about the other players that could perform well in the first half and become trade bait? I mean,
yeah,
you were saying before we started, like, you know, Naylor becomes a commodity because of Hosmer. Which
yeah,
I think...
so Hosmer comes, and then you've got. I feel like
they're gonna do well, something. I don't know. Like,
who do you think Hosmer's backup is at first base? Do you think it's Will Myers or do you think it's Chase Headley? Right now, like just as it is right now.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're just going to have Will Myers play there.
Right, as a backup to Hosmer.
Probably.
But Hosmer plays 162, right? So Hosmer's like Iron Man out there. Doesn't get hurt. Plays every game. It's fantastic. It's fine. If you're Hosmer, and if you've got Hosmer and Will Myers, and you're like, well, these are two guys. Like, you've got a guy. Maybe you spell a guy. Maybe you spell Hosmer. You bring or you like have him
Perella,
DH, do you have him like DH a game in interleague or something like that? You still have this first base and you've got like a very attractive prospect in Naylor. Naylor ends up in like a package because Naylor's pretty good. Like he's got I don't know if he's a high character guy, but he's a character guy. Like he's like fun to watch play the game of baseball. He's a fun guy. He's pretty good baseball player, you know. He played in Lake Elsinore last year, but if you're wheeling and dealing, it's like if Hosmer's going to be your guy for the next 5 years, that's when Naylor's about to come up, you know, because he's in low A or well he's in Lake Elsinore. I don't know about low A, but like
is he going to be there this year?
I don't know. So, like, this is the big league camp, you know, we'll probably find out where everyone's going in, like, the next week or so, like the fog will clear up and we'll figure out where everyone's going. But
he's a commodity, right? Like he's like a piece. He's like, uh-huh. if this was basketball, like he would be like, oh, like this is like a, you know, like a bench piece, or like this is someone. If you're like the Marlins or something, it's like, oh, Josh Naylor, you know, like we'll send him back to the Marlins. But but you're also like looking at being on another team, because your future probably, if you're Josh Naylor, your future is probably not with that team.
I look at Naylor, they're going to do something with Headley.
Sure. Obviously. You want to package Headley with Naylor?
I don't know. I mean, maybe not the same deal, but and then you have, I could see Perella playing himself into like a really good trade deadline piece.
Perella can be good. I think he needs reps. I think Perella needs to play every single day. It's like
it seems like they're going to give him a chance.
Yeah, we can see. So like that's the other thing, is like with the 50 guys going for, you know, one or two positions in the rotation, you also have, you know, 100 guys going for, you know, either the right or left field outfield spot. And you have like a lot of these, you know, you have a lot of these players that are like, well, where are you going to go? Where are you going to put them? And, you know, maybe Myers gets traded.
I still think they're in a phase where they're just going to...
Perella
gets
traded.
They're going to play people wherever and just get them. I think Andy's really good at that.
Is he?
He seems like he just rotates people and...
Yeah, are we sure that players are happy about that, though?
I don't know. I want the big key to this season I want to see is how does Will Myers react to his new... secondary role, I guess. He's not the face of the franchise. Not that he ever like needed to be.
He was the face of the franchise last year. And through the All-Star game in 2016.
He never struck me as a person that really like needed that. I'm sure he enjoyed it, but like this isn't. No. Anyways, but I do think that he's a guy that I really like the idea of him just playing first base all the time.
If your team is tanking and you need a face of your franchise, Will Myers is pretty good for that.
I think so.
I feel like, you know, like, he's fun-loving, right? You know, he's goofy. He's, like, just good enough, you know, just to be like, hey, man, yeah, I've got this, like, kind of wonky, like, swing where my back foot goes for it. You know, like, he's a name you know because, like, he won, like, Rookie of the Year or something like that. Like, he was in the mix.
I don't know if he won. But
he was, like, good and like... You know,
then he goes dark.
Then he goes dark. But like things happen. But like if you're a team that is tanking and you need a face of your franchise, Will Myers is a good option for that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I think he's going to be fine.
He's tradable. He's still tradable too.
He's still tradable. But how bad do you want the DH in the NL right now?
I know.
You know, do you remember like a few years back where like we had Kyle Blanks and it was like, oh man, Kyle Blanks, he could really smack the cover off the ball. He just needs to play every day. And it was like, you know, it would be fantastic if we had the DH.
Oh, we had the same conversation with Matt Kemp. It was like,
I didn't have any conversations with
when we had, no, when we were, oh, that year and a half when we were like, debating Matt Kemp.
There was no debate. I was always like, Matt Kemp is like, I believe I had the conversation with you. It was like, you remember all those like horrible things I said about Matt Kemp and Matt Kemp's family when he was with the Dodgers? I still feel them when he was with the Padres. Like,
but like he could have been. The craziest thing about his trade was that he didn't go to the American League. I still can't believe AJ pulled that off.
No. Well, that was weird. That was a weird one. Yeah, that Atlanta trade, that, because we got back the. What was his name? Like Hector Olivera? Like it was like we like signed him and then just like immediately DFA'd him because he had like some
legal trouble. He had a domestic violence thing.
Yeah, no, and good riddance to bad rubbish. But like I don't know. It was kind of weird. We'll see. Like Myers is tradable. Like that contract was still pretty like team friendly. I feel like Myers is tradable. People want to get rid of Renfroe, which I don't feel like. You know, people are like, oh, let's get, you know, he stunk last year. It's like a rookie.
Yeah.
And it's weird that, like, people are just like, 1 year is enough to prove that you are not good. It's like, dude, Renfroe, that's fine. Like, let's give him more than just a rookie year, right? Like, you don't have to be rookie of the year, you know, to be good. Like, it's fine. But he's tradable. Renfroe's tradable. Naylor down in the minors, tradable. You have some pieces that you can move around to hopefully get, you know, maybe some more pieces
bloom in the window. So
yeah, I mean, we'll see. Think this trade deadline is going to be a pretty big one for the team.
But yeah, Brad Hand tradable.
I don't think they're doing it.
Like, do you want Brad Hand, like, long term? Do you want him, or do you think they're
They should have traded him last trade deadline. But I,
sure, yeah, no, they should have.
They, you know,
but, so there, it's like, I don't know. If it's like, there's the things like you think that it would be smart to do, and the things that it's like, well, you know, like
they the right will way. Or
won't do. Yeah, it's like they still need to make money. I don't know if you saw Ron Fowler. I don't know if you've subscribed to The Atlantic or The Athletic.
The Athletic, yeah.
I do, but you know,
they still have to do. They still have to make money.
That, they still got to make money, and like guys like that, you know, they make you a little bit. They make you a little bit of at least a little bit of money, and you know, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they will trade Brad Hand, but they probably should. I think the value of Brad Hand is definitely on another
team. I think they'll just go up to the trade deadline, look who's playing well, who's valuable, and try to move, see what they can get. But
do you think, like, so like last year it seemed like at the trade deadline he was like, our Preller looks around and goes, well, this is the deal we want for Hand, and if we don't get it, then we'll just keep him. Because yeah, who cares?
He's and sign him to a small contract, yeah, that gives him something.
Just a closer. You know, it's fine. You know, like, we'll make him happy. That makes him tradable even down the line. And wow. I think they were smart. I think they were smart with that, with his contract and, like, the way they handle it. I think they could have traded it, but traded him for, like, nothing was probably not smart. You have something there, you know. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna take a break and go watch Trouble with the Curve.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the Kept Faith baseball film series is back, baby.
Oh yes.
We're coming in hot.
Let's do this.
Season 3.
Really wish Dallas could be here so that he could dig in. It's been so long since Dallas has dug in. So I'm like, ready.
I know.
I'm ready for Dallas to dig in.
He's been in the off season. He's been lying in the weeds.
He's in the best shape of his life. But right, yeah, now.
Yeah, we're gonna watch a movie and come back and talk about Justin Timberlake's acting.
You don't want to talk. You want to talk about the Padres losing to Oakland? Don't want to talk about Chris Young pitching 2 scoreless innings today?
I don't want to get excited about
Chris. I've got a Chris Young lunchbox that I am excited about.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a lunchbox. In the front of it is Chris Young, and on the back of it is Jake Peavy. It was a giveaway. It was a stadium giveaway. And if we sign Jake Peavy, I'm going to bring that mother effort to work every single day and be like, see this guy? This was cool like 10 years ago, and I'm bringing it back.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
let's go watch a really, really bad baseball movie. Let's go subject ourselves to this.
See you in a bit.
All right. I'm not the woman that can take your spot, my...
We just sat through the slog that was the Trouble with the Curve.
Oh man, that was
the bad. Trouble with the Curve.
I had trouble with the Trouble with the Curve. That was not a great. That was not a great film.
Trouble with the Curve is a 2012 movie that cost $60 million to make and grossed $49 million at the box office.
Yeah,
That's one of the worst baseball movies I've
ever
seen.
I wanted Justin Timberlake to stop the feeling. That's the way. Oh my god! This one, that was not a good movie. It was a bad movie.
This movie basically follows a scout, an old grizzled scout in the Atlanta Braves organization, Gus LaBelle. He's given one last assignment to prove that he can make it through and like keep his job, basically. And it becomes this whole interplay between, you know, good old scouting versus new analytics.
Yeah, like guys. Boots on the ground versus like scouting the stat line or whatever you want to call it.
It's like Moneyball, but it has none of the qualities that work about Moneyball.
It has none of the deep Podesta. It's like I'm a grizzled old veteran and you're going to come at me with like computer stats. That's not going to work here. I was, you know, Dirty Harry. Like, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's but just, the movie's telling you that we should believe that in 2012 that no matter how old you are, no matter how tethered you are to the old way of doing things, you're probably going to own a computer at some point. The whole thing is like he doesn't want to touch a computer.
Yeah,
and I don't see how that's realistic. And if I was an older person, I would kind of be offended by it. I don't know.
A little bit.
Probably a little bit. Clint Eastwood's last run here. This is Gran Torino.
It's not that bad. It's not as bad as Gran Torino.
If Gran Torino
was like the worst movie ever made. But like that movie was a disaster. This movie still had Amy Adams in it.
Your girl.
She's my girl. She's great. This movie was bad. It wasn't Amy Adams' fault.
Because nothing is. But
Arrival had problems. I'm not saying Arrival didn't have problems. I'm going to lay those at the feet of Amy Adams. But, like, the movie, what it comes down to is, like, this is a movie for octogenarians or 80-year-olds. By 80-year-olds, for 80-year-olds. Like... Yeah. Like by technophobes for technophobes. Like you can make this argument. It's like, look, there's, you know, it's important to have, you know, actual scouts in this, in, you know, at the high school games, watching Gentry strike out or hit home runs, whatever.
Yeah. So spoiler alert. I mean, if you haven't seen Trouble with the Curve yet, it's on Netflix, but,
it's bad.
I think the best version of this movie is he's wrong. And like, the third act of the movie is him just being old and like pissed off. It turns into Gran Torino.
If the best version of your movie turns into Gran Torino, you got problems.
But that's not what happens.
He's proven right in the end. Because old school scouting. Old school is the best school.
So this movie, Trouble with the Curve, basically comes down to a power dynamic between Matthew Lillard, who I love. But Matthew Lillard and Clint Eastwood battling.
That's Shaggy from Scooby Doo, right?
Yeah. It's also the guy.
I see him and I think, oh, that's Shaggy.
It's also, spoiler alert again, one of the killers from Scream.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, now I don't have to see Scream.
Yeah.
Good.
So these two guys basically are competing ideologies. It's the new way.
The new way. New stats versus old scouting.
Yeah. And the Terminator from Terminator 2 has T-1000. To decide.
Oh, man.
Robert Patrick killing
it. Who really is right in between the two, right? He, like, perfectly positioned in between Shaggy from Scooby-Doo and Dirty Harry. Like, perfectly positioned.
I don't know what we just put ourselves through.
It was pain. What we put ourselves through was pain. That was not a very good movie.
It took all the good things that you would go towards a baseball movie for and just threw it out and said, hey, let's have a Lifetime movie. Basically in the place where Dawson's Creek was shot. That's what it felt like.
It was like, let's cram this romantic comedy in with this baseball movie. And then someone was like, no, let's cram this baseball movie in with this romantic comedy. And like the two just don't, it just didn't make sense. That was not an enjoyable experience. I'm sorry, but like late career Clint Eastwood has not been fun for anybody.
I mean, I just feel like, you know,
should have stopped at Bird. It's like, oh, great, you made this fantastic jazz movie. And then, like, ever since, what does he... I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
Unforgiven? He was in Unforgiven.
There's moments. And Unforgiven. He directed that.
That movie was good. Was that after Bird?
That's way after Bird, yeah.
Okay, then fine. Bird's not way after Bird. Bird was good.
Bird's like 3 years
before. Unforgiven was good. Yeah. Unforgiven was a good movie. If he directed Unforgiven, then kudos.
Shoot a movie, you know? He can make a movie.
It was a well-shot movie. It was, like, attractive. There were good shots in this movie.
He didn't direct it, but can you imagine if you're on set with Clint Eastwood and some no-name director, who I've never heard of this person, but, like...
Lorenz? Is that
Martin something? It's Robert something, but...
Okay.
Clint Eastwood probably just decides. If he disagrees with something,
look,
he's just
punk.
Yeah.
I ran for like mayor of Malibu or something like that. Didn't he run for mayor of Malibu? Do you hear about this?
He was the mayor of Carmel.
Oh, Carmel. Yeah. Okay, that was it. Yeah, Malibu, Carmel.
My high school or my college roommate was from Carmel and caddied for him, actually.
At San Diego State or at Humboldt?
At San Diego State.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. At Pebble Beach.
We talked we talked our way through about 90% of this movie. Yeah. We solved the NCAA crisis, though.
So Justin Timberlake saunters through this thing, and I have no idea what he was doing the whole time.
Cashing checks what he was doing.
I think this is like this probably is a train wreck of a podcast, but that's fine. Part of the Kept Faith brand that we've built is baseball movie discussions. And I think this might be this is the last one. I think I don't think I've ever.
I wanted to watch Eddie the basketball movie with Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, I was like, let's watch a basketball movie. Let's watch Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg. That's what I wanted to watch. But like, let's watch a basketball
movie.
Baseball movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So that.
This was. Ooh.
I can't believe we just put ourselves through. But, you know, it does tie itself back. This idea of new school versus old school, analytics versus everything.
I mean, it ties into the Hosmer situation. Yeah. Like the Bill Jameses of the world were very, very much against the Hosmer signing.
Let's go back to that. Kevin Acey tweeted a quote. I think it might have been in one of his pieces, but he tweets this last week.
What was that?
Been a lot of talk. This is Kevin Acey. A lot of talk about Eric Hosmer's ground ball rate and other metrics. Hosmer said, as long as what I'm doing helps us win games, I don't mind what the computer is spitting out. That's interesting because that could be...
You know, the computer is spitting out what exactly you're doing.
No, but I think there could be this whole burgeoning debate about... I mean, it's already happening about like new school versus old school in the Padres Twitter sphere, like he could be the poster child for people to support the argument that you shouldn't follow what the computers say. I think he's positioning himself.
The computers
that way.
Here's the problem with that. The computers don't say.
I know that. Yeah.
Anything. The computers just like present facts, right? Right. Like the.
I know.
Computers just give you information. What you have to do is sort of like interpret that information. Like that's the problem with this movie and like with this argument is that like the computer is gonna like, oh, the computers say this. Like, no. The computers just give you what happens.
It's
like
a tool.
Computers aren't saying something.
Yeah.
The computer doesn't have a take. You know? You can interpret it through like you know, there's something beyond the computer. You have to interpret the stat. You know, you have to decide on what ground ball rate means. You have to decide what launch angle means, like on a larger level. And that's what humans do. The computer isn't actually saying anything. So this quote is like, well, I don't care what we're doing. We're winning games. The computer said, blah, 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 blah. The only thing that matters is wins and losses, which is what he says, which is the better quote. Don't bring computers into this because computers are just giving you information.
But isn't it smart by Hosmer to position himself that way to say
to be the anti-stat guy?
Even though he is a stat guy,
depends on is it an even year or an odd year.
He's not a disagreeable like his. No, I'm talking about his performance on the field.
Right.
He's not a bad sabermetrics guy.
Well, he has good, again, it's like every other year, right?
No, yeah,
but
I know.
It's like every other year, he's either good or he's like not that good.
He gets on base. He's not an idiot.
Again, like just like everybody says, he's fine. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's again. I think that it's a lateral move at first base. I think.
But is there a benefit to position yourself to being a guy who doesn't want to be associated with computers? Yeah. Or like that nerdy side of this whole.
I mean,
thing. That's what that quote sounds like to me. Like he wants to be.
Yeah, look, nerds.
I know that I'm. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm a guy who goes to work every day with a lunchbox, and this is like what I do.
Yeah.
You know? That's probably good for his. I think that sounds like branding to me. Like I don't want to be. Put in a box.
It's fine. I mean, it might gain him a little bit of a grace period. I don't know. I think in the long run, I just don't think that it's gonna matter because if you're even like people who are like I hate stats, they're still gonna look at like things like batting average and RBIs. And like these things that like second generation stat heads like don't care about, right? Like, you know, like old school stats versus like new school stats, like not like war or like, you know, B word, D word, whatever. You must put these things out, like older stats, like batting average, slugging, even slugging percentage, something like that. If he's like, look at these things, it's like, even those things sort of struggle, like sometimes, yeah, I mean, yeah, even with Eric Hosmer. But if he's saying like, I don't care about the computer as long as we're winning or losing, it's like, no, like,
well, the big problem with this movie that we just,
yeah, is that people are like, I don't care that, yeah. Yeah,
but no, but no, but
this the tattoo big, that we gave to our brain,
the big problem with it is that they set up this dynamic between Clint Eastwood and Matthew Lillard. Pause. That's an amazing thing that happened in our life. Matthew Lillard and Clint Eastwood going head to head, but
head to head.
But the big problem, a big
with the T-1000 being with, the arbiter in right, between. Right. It's fantastic. It's great.
And he killed it. He always kills it.
Well, except for when it matters. And it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's actually have to kill them. And
but the problem with the movie is that they're saying that even these hyper educated people on stats, these guys who follow stats, yeah, and quantify them, you know, they really get into it. They just have no interest in watching a person live.
Right.
And the old school is all about live and taking it in. I don't think, yeah, I don't think that's how it actually is. I think a lot of the smart teams have scouts that look at who own a computer, not to be a millennial or anything, but like,
yeah,
like they own computers and they actually try to get a mixture of everything. I don't think it's that stark contrast.
Like the person, the supposed like prospect in this movie, his name is Gentry. If his numbers didn't get him to a certain level, like, people like these scouts wouldn't go and see him, and that's the computer, right? Like, you have to get to some point to where like the computers notice you, and then the scouts come and see. But this the new school versus old school thing. This is if Trouble with a Curve is the last of that, then the new school stat sort of wins, because this is just awful. Like,
this movie,
what a horrible representation.
This movie might be a really important movie in as far as baseball movies, because it does seem so ridiculous that it clearly comes down on the side of the old school, like, I have a hunch about a guy.
Yeah.
But like, I don't
how did you feel about this? I heard it. It's like, what? It's like, oh, it just didn't sound right. It's like, get
I just think
here.
It could be, it's so cartoon. The thing is, like, it's so cartoonish, yeah, about like that guy. Cause I don't think there's old scouts his age.
Yeah.
That probably are fascinated by the stats that,
no, and, you know, like, and no, no, and then,
this,
like,
idea that it's got to be one way or the other, the way this movie paints, yeah, it is,
maybe,
so ridiculous.
Maybe there were like, you know, 90-year-old scouts who aren't like balancing launch angle against ground ball rate and like, you know, defensive, you know, maybe they're not getting deep into, you know, these stats, but like, no, nobody is as technophobic as this guy is portrayed to be, like,
in Clint Eastwood,
as Clint Eastwood's character, like,
he can't drive a car, he cannot see, he's literally
blind,
he's legally blind,
no, like, no. Like, yeah, get out of here, no one is this bad.
Amy Adams won the movie, let's just say
she wins every movie. She was great in The Master, she was like, she's good, she's great, she's my girl. Amy Adams is my girl, I'm gonna throw that out there.
All right. Well, I don't ever want to think about this movie again. I'm so glad.
I've already forgotten about this movie.
I feel like we did. This was work. We got through it. We had to.
We had to.
I can say that
beginning of spring training. We're still a month out from opening day.
I know.
Look, this is just how it is.
So this might be the last one. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing.
We need to start doing basketball movies, please.
We will.
You know, Eddie.
Blue chips. Let's do it.
Blue chips. Oh, man.
All right. Well, you can follow follow the Padres Haiku at Padres Haiku.
Yeah. Do it.
Friar.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already following.
if you're listening to the end.
Yeah. To this point, for sure.
Yeah. And follow all of us. I'm Nicholas underscore McCann.
Do not watch Trouble with the Curve. This was not a good movie.
Do not watch. Two thumbs down.
Two thumbs down.
Two gloves down.
This was not a good. Don't waste your time.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week after the Chris Archer trade.
Go. Are we getting Chris Archer?
We just got him.
Wait.
Oh my God, we just got it.
Oh, breaking news. Breaking news.
Fire drill. That was a drill.
I do. Worked up for nothing.
I do it because I care. We're wasted. Cubs.
The Padres are.
Ball busters.
Well hit deep right. At the fence, it is going in.
Right center field, way back there. They're near, going, it's gone.
Great play, off balance, throw to first. They got him, a sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball, well hit right field, look out. Maldonado at the wall, Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds, and it's...
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego Podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN@VOSD.org.